from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Would you still categorize this as a quarterback competition? If it is, how do you weigh what happens on the practice field here versus what happens in the stadium?
Very much is a competition. What happens in stadium is weighted heavier than what happens in a practice setting because it's more game-like.
So view Russell as having that pole position and being ahead of Justin in that?
You guys saw the depth chart that I released yesterday. That is real.
Okay, so that is real.
It is real.
That was Mike Tomlin.
It is spectacular. Russell Wilson is your starting quarterback.
That's it.
Yeah.
That was Mike Tomlin, the coach of the Steelers. He was getting hit with a couple questions about his QB situation, which I would say is one of the more intriguing storylines here early on in training camp around the NFL. Justin Fields, who by all accounts is at a very, very good camp, is one of the quarterbacks. Russell Wilson is the named starter upon acquisition earlier this year, and as Mike Tomlin pointed out on their depth chart that he worked so very hard on, but Russell Wilson is banged up right now. He's not going to play in this game tomorrow, so Justin Fields is going to get a few series here to narrow the gap or make his case to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, so you know, we asked John Harris about what he thought the chances are that Justin Fields would develop in this new scheme with a new offensive coordinator, maybe a little bit of a blow to the pride that you didn't make it in Chicago. Maybe that'll motivate him to really change his mechanics. John was skeptical. I love the potential of it all. And I think in terms of the Texans playing Justin Fields, this will be a really good warm-up for a season in which they face a good number of dual-threat quarterbacks, guys, and good quarterbacks in general. But they struggled last year when they faced mobile quarterbacks. They struggled a lot when they saw Anthony Richardson. The first game against the Ravens, Lamar Jackson's legs weren't as much of an issue because Lamar was trying to still learn that new offense. Mm-hmm. But his legs hurt the Texans in the playoff game. And, D'Amico's defenses, I don't want to say they struggled, but they weren't as good versus athletic quarterbacks in San Francisco as they were against other quarterbacks. So for when you've got hyper-aggressive defensive linemen, the challenge is always being sure that you still are also corralling the quarterback. You're not completely losing track of creating a pocket and group tackling him. I think Will Anderson might not play just because he's a little banged up, but you're going to have a bunch of starters out there. I'd love to see him get him on the ground a little bit.
Yeah.
And then not to mention, if you want to think about like the 49ers last year in the playoffs, at times they really struggle sometimes with like zone read type stuff if they're so aggressive that they kind of don't read the play in front of them. They're going to see some of that action from Justin Fields.
You tell me, these are the first five games the Texans play. You tell me if these are quarterbacks, assuming health, that these are all healthy quarterbacks. Tell me if these are quarterbacks that make you nervous with their mobility, being a Houston Texans fan. Indianapolis, week one, Anthony Richardson.
I've seen that before.
Yes,
I've got memories I can dredge up. Yeah. It doesn't take all that much dredging.
There's not even an opinion there that's inarguable. The answer is yes. Caleb Williams, week two. Does he scare you with his mobility?
Not scary, but scary. But he's mobile. not necessarily. He's not in that same category, right? Yeah.
Minnesota, we don't know who they're starting yet. It'll be Sam Darnold or J.J. McCarthy.
Caleb Williams doesn't scare me as like a rusher.
Right.
But he can hurt you by running around. I'm not as worried about that.
Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, week 4.
Not really. No. I mean, he can run, but no.
Buffalo, Josh Allen, week 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got Anthony Richardson and Josh Allen as 2 of your first 5 games. I mean, that's, you know, and the other quarterbacks we just named at least can move around a little bit. They're not Jared Goff, who's just a sitting duck right there, you know? So
Dak Prescott's not the same. I'm just thinking about the season schedule. Dak Prescott's not the same as he used to be since his ankle injury, but he can still hurt you with his legs.
Yeah, and Lamar Jackson's obviously the big one. Mahomes can hurt you improv-wise, things like that. You know, Tua a little bit. So D-line versus a mobile quarterback, that's a matchup you're looking forward to seeing. What's the next one here? Which one is
it? The Kamari Lassiter versus George Pickens.
Okay.
I hope they get to – I hope – Now, this is the thing. George Pickens only had 25 yards receiving versus the Texans last year. Yeah. So I think that, you know, knowing George Pickens wired the way he is, even though it's just a preseason game, he's going to be playing pretty hard.
Yeah.
I wonder if he'll, not that he necessarily has a say in the matter, but I wonder if he'd rather dial it up against Derek Stingley or if he wants to beat up on the youngster. That would be his mind. I hope that he wants to beat up on the youngster and Kamari Lassiter gives him a bit of a poop sandwich.
If this were a regular season game, this would be a game where Derek Stingley would follow George Pickens around, right? Like, he's their only real receiving threat right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of that depends on what they end up feeling about Kamari Lassiter. You know, I think that in an ideal world, if you feel comfortable, depending on how you're going to play, that you don't necessarily have to travel with that guy all that much if you like Kamari Lassiter. But, yeah, it's not like they – I mean, they did it at the end of the year, but it's not like that means that they're always going to do it moving forward. I think with better personnel on the field, D'Amico might – still prefer guys to get super comfortable playing one side of the field.
Yeah, it's a good point about last year. That last year could have been a one-off because, A, it was at the end of the year as a playoff game, and, B, it was against a team you had actually played 3 weeks before that where that guy tore the backside out of your defense.
That guy tore the backside out of you, and you had a bunch of injuries in the secondary that you were just shuffling guys around constantly.
Yep.
That might have been a break glass in case of emergency type
for
of situation.
For sure. Yeah, that makes sense. So Lassiter, if you were D'Amico Ryans, would you have Lassiter follow Pickens around just to get him tested as a rookie and see what he's made of? Or do you just play your regular defense?
That's a good question. I would say no, because Lassiter's only played on the right side.
Okay.
So I don't think all of a sudden they're going to have him just be like, oh, and by the way, you're going to be playing on all over there. We've gotten you comfortable with this half and this one-third of the field.
Yeah.
But now we're going to have you cover the whole field against that guy.
Right, right. And Lassiter doesn't strike me as a guy that needs to be humbled in some way. You know, that feels like something you would do. Like, all right, this rookie's getting a little full of himself here. Let's let him follow Pickens around and see where it's at.
But it would be a good kind of a baptism by fire, you know? It just, okay, this is make it as hard as you possibly can on him the first time he's in. But I also don't think that this coaching staff feels that way about it. Like, they want these guys to have success. You know, you want to challenge them as much as possible, but you don't want to overload them to the point where their minds are blown.
Yeah.
So I think they're not going to game plan too hardcore. Plus, remember, you don't want them to see – if they thought Kamari Lassiter could do that, they wouldn't show it in the preseason.
Good point.
And likewise, I don't think they want to do it with Derek Stingley any more than they have to just to keep that little wrinkle in the game plan.
All right, you have had concerns about the offensive line – all offseason long, particularly the interior of the offensive line. This line will not see T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith or Cam Hayward tomorrow, but this is a, you know, every test for right now for the interior of this offensive line, every test is a good test right now.
Right, right. And 2 of their starters are playing. So, and, you know, they're not, it's not like Casey Hampton out there at nose tackle or anything, but it's Benton and I always screw his name up. Ogunjobi? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I think so.
So they're 2 of their starting interior defensive linemen are going to be playing. So Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green will get some work against starters this week. So if they have a good performance, you know, we could take last week and say, all right, you did some good things. It was versus backups, but let's see if you can build on it. Then that would be a really good thing. I'd be really excited about that. Likewise, if they don't play well, Then I got to start to wonder about, like, okay, just how good have Foley Fatakasi and Mario Edwards been?
Yeah.
You know, how much of it is that they've actually been just new versions of themselves, or is it just been that they've beaten up on guys that aren't quite ready?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For it.
That's what I'm most excited for, Seth. I think it's just some truth. You know, like how good is this? Like I was on with Zach Gelb yesterday, and he's CBS Sports or Infinity Sports Network. He does the afternoons on there. Really good host. So he had me on to talk about the Texans, and we got talking about Diggs, and my feeling about Stephon Diggs, and granted, this is without having seen the last three practices because we haven't been there, but the 10 practices I did see, he was their best offensive player, in my opinion. And my take to Zach was sort of like, because he was asking about Stephon Diggs compared to what the stats said about him in Buffalo in the second half of last season. And after explaining that, hey, that may have had more to do with the Bills than it did with Diggs, and telling him what I saw in camp, my final salvo was, if the Texans have huge defensive problems, if this isn't the real, you know, if the Stephon Diggs that we're seeing, If it's a regressed version of Stephon Diggs, then the Texans have major defensive problems, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Nico in his interview with Kay Adams was very complimentary of the Texans secondary. He said that, man, there's some days out there. So, I trust that Stephon Diggs is a good football player. Nico Collins is a good football player. Tank Dell is a good football player. But Nico said that there's times at practice where they're like, well, I don't know where you go with the ball. You know, so I take that as, you know, and Nico's not necessarily a guy that's trying to say flashy things in the media at all. I feel pretty good about the secondary.
Yeah.
And I obviously feel good about the wide receivers. I think Jalen Petrie, John Harris said that he's skeptical that the Texans will really show how they plan on using Jalen Petrie. And that does make a lot of sense. I do think that, for the role they have him in right now, I don't think he's going to be on the field 60 snaps a game. I think that he's basically going to be like a linebacker against certain personnel groups. So your nickel linebacker. You know, I don't want to get too technical about all of it, but sometimes you got a nickel back that's more of a corner, and sometimes you got a guy that's more of a safety / linebacker. I think they look at Petrie that way, but when they want to be manned up versus the three best receivers on the field, I don't think they want to have Jalen Petrie and man coverage on an actual wide receiver.
Yeah, do you think we probably see him quite a bit on like first and second down and things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, first and second down when a team is in a three wide receiver set, those kinds of situations.
Yep.
But John sounds skeptical that they'll really roll out their plan, because why bother in the preseason?
Yep.
Marcus Harris, who John brought up, and I'm glad he did, Marcus Harris, undersized defensive tackle, but I don't want to call him John Randall because that's just an unfair comparison for anybody.
Yeah.
But just like John Randall was very short but very solid, Marcus Harris is kind of like that. You see him in person, you're like, oh, this guy could beat up a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is not easy. He might be short, but he ain't small.
Yep.
Not fat either. He's just muscular. He's got to do some things to learn about how to deal with his limitations, you know, your size limitations, and you can turn it into a strength instead of a weakness. It just takes some technique. I think he's shown progress, so I'm really excited to see him just continue to. I think he's going to progress from week to week. He had some really impressive snaps in the last game. Also had some snaps where you're like, okay, yeah, he got buffeted around a little bit right there. He's got to learn to anticipate things a little bit better, but there's definitely something there.
He needs a new jersey number. That's my take on him. Number 59 is not a good interior defensive lineman jersey number. He needs a 70 number or a 90 number.
Oh, 70's rough these days.
It is?
Oh. Yeah, it just looks like an offensive line.
Okay, okay.
There's got to be some good 70s in the league that I'm not thinking of. Yeah, but it's you got to overcome a lot.
Yeah. That's true. He may just need that 9 handle in front of him. Yeah, just 59.
You might as well be a white defensive tackle if you're gonna wear a 70s. Like you got to overcome a lot of stereotypes. Yeah. to break through. Yeah,
you know what he looks like wearing number 59? He looks like, if they were making a movie, like a cheesy movie, and the Texans were somehow involved, and the people casting certain roles just didn't have any grasp of what body types were in football, it would be a really poorly cast D'Amico Ryans. Like they got, you know, they went and got like some 280 pounder to play D'Amico Ryans in the movie. You know how that happens in movies? Like, okay, there's zero chance that this person should be playing that guy.
I've got to get your daughter's take. So for those of you who don't know, Sean's daughter was a very, very good college cross-country runner. But that Kevin Costner Disney movie, based on a true life story about this college that he, or this small high school that he went off to coach, very impoverished
community
of a lot of Mexican-American farm workers.
McFarland, USA.
McFarland, USA. Yeah. But like the guy that they chose to play the best runner on the team, like the superstar, looks like a high school nose tackle. Okay. Like he's this stocky little dude. He looks more like Marcus Harris, like a guy that should play Marcus Harris than a guy that should play a cross country runner.
Okay.
Maybe that was part of why they did it, like because they wanted him to be an underdog in so many ways. But I got to get her take on that.
I'll text her during the break. It's
she needs to call in.
She's in France right now.
You can't afford the international plan, Sean? Sorry.
Yeah, trust me. Dude, I'm getting peppered by her bill and Sammy's bill at the same time. He's over there, too, at the Olympics. He just landed like an hour ago.
I've got my college student is doing a summer session in Barbados.
So you
and I
know.
I just got hit with the maxed out the data limit on the international plan. Well, these kids, they've got them out on like some reserve studying monkeys and, but the life goes on back in the States, stateside. That's what we call
it. Kids live good lives, man.
That's spoiled little bastards.
Yeah.
Ruin the family business.
I had no idea that both of my, like Judy sent me a picture from the, literally like from the runway leaving. She's like, Charlie and I are leaving to go to France. I'm like, oh, that must be nice. Just toddling off to France. Got that Survivor runner-up money, you know?
Meanwhile, she's got a video up on TikTok about how hard it is to make it these days with a college degree.
Probably, yeah.
I've only taken one trip to France this year.
Yep.
I can only afford 3 Starbucks a week. How do people live?
I'm like, why? You guys are going to the Olympics? And she's like, yeah, well, they have some of their former teammates are running. This Gabby Thomas that just won the 200 meters yesterday.
Yeah.
She was one of their teammates in college, and there's a couple other distance runners that were teammates. So they're over there supporting the cause.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah.
Where does an actual runner want to be during the race, like to watch a?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, they're in the stadium there because there's no cross country
track.
There. It's just 3,000. Yeah.
So they're over there. Sammy's over there, I think, to watch the Olympics, but he's meeting a bunch of buddies, and they have an Airbnb, and he's probably going to come home with some girlfriend named Babette that doesn't speak any English or something like that.
I hope he knocks up a woman over there and gets an anchor baby in France.
Yeah, me too. Dude, I'm not ready to be a grandfather.
Sammy should have kids now. No. I think he should.
You should?
He's going to be a fun dad.
Oh, he will.
Except being a young lawyer, I don't know, with kids at home. Then all of a sudden, the guys at the firm start to think you're soft because you want to spend time with your family. Okay. All right.
And you're
hold off on it, Sammy.
Please hold off on it, Sammy. Sacre bleu! I knocked her up. Oh no!
What if he comes home with like a striped shirt and a beret? What if he becomes? What if Sammy comes home an annoying wannabe Francophile?
Okay, that's it. it. And my other son's going to Italy at the end of the month. Like, what's up with these kids, man? It's crazy.
I bet James is going for work.
No, pleasure. He's had this plan for a while. Yeah, he is going to some wineries over there, and that's part. He works for a big liquor distributor, and he handles some of their big wine accounts. So I think he is getting the hookup over there at a couple of places at some wineries. So it's tangentially tied to business, but it's for pleasure. He's going with some buddies.
What does he work out? Well, he works on the accounting side of things. It's not like he's, is he more of a wine or a beer guy for that distributorship? Or
yeah, he's really into wine lately. He actually went and got that certification that you get. I forget what it's called, but there's a certain certification.
A sommelier?
I don't know if he's officially a sommelier, but it's a certain level of certification with wine where he can speak and tell. It's I guess it's more of like a validator for clients and things like that. Like, oh, this guy knows a lot about wine. He's got this degree or this certification or whatever.
He's not like me when the waiter shows me the cork and has me taste it. And I'm like, man, if this is anything other than vinegar, it's going to be good. All right.
and me both.
I've never sent a bottle of wine back, and I think I've powered through some bad ones. I just don't have the confidence to do it.
Same. All right, Josh Allen was asked yesterday, does he miss Stephon Diggs? Man, he gave an answer, and that thing is being parsed out and chopped up by TV today. We will do the exact same thing and see where he went wrong with his answer. Do we think he misses Stephon Diggs? That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.